gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
I now invite young children ages 3 to 10 who are already heading for the doors to go into the music room with Santana for a story.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. For many years, one of our family favorite shows came through a channel on YouTube called Dude Perfect. Mostly their videos focus on basketball trick shots, if you're not familiar. For instance, I believe they still hold the Guinness World Record for making a shot from the top of a skyscraper. That is, they spent 2 days throwing basketballs off the top of a building from 800 feet, aiming them at a standard size hoop on the street below until they made one, which they did. One of the videos that still haunts me that they made has nothing to do with sports. See, they often give each other a hard time for their ridiculous preferences. One of them believes that he has discovered the world's best way to make coffee. Now, I just need to take a time out from last service and just say that all of this comes from my own deep personal experience of making the world's best coffee in our house, okay? This is not of judgment, but of, you know, simpatico, okay? Just, that didn't come through last time, so let's make sure we're getting that one. All right. So sure he is of the superiority of his coffee-making technique, He accepts a challenge to do a blind taste test to see if he could distinguish his coffee from four very different kinds of coffee. In that episode, in front of him are five identical cups, each holding a different kind of coffee. One instant coffee, one from a fast food chain, one from Starbucks, one from the gas station, and then his own finely crafted, hand-poured, artisanally made coffee. Without the blindfold, he arranges them in order of their quality, sipping each. Then he blinds himself. Will he be able to arrange them in the same order without knowing which coffee came from where? Now, of course, sight should not matter here. And surely none of our preferences are unduly weighed by our sense of social standing and cultural cachet. Certainly, we are a people who care only about the direct experience of the food itself. Now, in fairness to him, he was able to distinguish a couple of the coffees right off the bat. But in the end, the coffee he swore to be the world's best, his own, the coffee he makes by hand each day using methods derived from months and months of training, that coffee he could not distinguish from the coffee that had come from the gas station. We have come to the season of Lent, the season of self-examination and wilderness, the season when we intentionally ask, how can we restore ourselves to God? How can we restore ourselves to each other? How can I restore myself to who I truly am? I think of that coffee video often because I know that so many of my preferences, so much of how I see and judge the world, though I believe it to be based on finely developed, highly nuanced, sophisticated series of distinctions and counter-distinctions, so many of my preferences, I know, they say more about me than they say about how the world actually is. Lent is a season of repentance, but also this Lent marks another changing season in the life of this church. Having just said goodbye to our beloved rector, we also find ourselves in the wilderness, in the times between. How much like Lent we are on a journey of self-examination and discovery? How can we prepare ourselves, this church, for the new life that is coming? What is the brush that we can be cleared aside? And what is it that is thriving and ready to be reborn? Where are the seeds in the ground yearning to be watered? How do we overcome or even merely name the coffee problem? Each of us may have a list of things that fall under the brush category, the things we're hoping to change. Each of us have a list of things that fall under the seeds in the ground, yearning to be watered category, the things we see as thriving and ready to be reborn, essential aspects that, if lost, would make this place perhaps unrecognizable. The coffee problem is this. How can we be sure that if our perspective was changed just a little bit, the thing that we would have sworn with complete certainty to be mere brush to be cleared might turn out to not only be worthy of keeping around, but suddenly in a flash appear as a completely opposite thing? Not brush at all, but the seed to be watered, the seed yearning to be reborn. Lent is a season of self-examination and repentance and wilderness because the coffee problem has been a problem for humans since the dawn of time. We know about ourselves that we often take ourselves too seriously, that we easily convince ourselves of our own sophistication, that we are people of nuance, and that our moral and spiritual compass is finely developed and based on refined judgment, unassailable, beyond reproach. And yet, we also know of ourselves that positions we've taken to be gospel truth turn out to be based on preferences that say more about us than they do about God. More about how we want the world to be rather than the way it really is. These are just the temptations that Jesus encounters in the gospel today. Temptations like this. Might we reconsider placing our reliance on God in exchange for fabulous material comfort? Think of all the good we could do if we had endless access to bread and the material wealth it represents. Of course we'd use it only justly. Of course we'd not forget who we truly are. We can be trusted to not forget our need for God and one another, even if we had millions in the bank. What about this one? The devil. The devil. Luke presents the devil as an avatar for evil in the most respectable guise. Evil in its most convincing and plausible and sensible form. The devil makes the best case for doing the thing you know is wrong, but maybe, just maybe, this time, it will work out. We'll feel awful, yes, but we're doing it not really for us. We're doing it for the betterment of others in the long run. The devil says, "Give me your allegiance. Put your trust not in God, not in justice, not in peace, not in mercy, in me. Speak well of me. Just say I'm the greatest. Say I'm the greatest, and I'll give you unimaginable power." And think about what you could do with unimaginable power. Think about the problems you'll be able to fix. Now, I, the devil, I'm going to lie. I'm going to be cruel. I will destroy things that are good. But if you worship me, you will rule over all others. Lent is a season of self-examination and repentance and wilderness. We enter the wilderness seeking to know God's will for our church, this time in between. We fast and pray so that the Spirit may renew and transform this place. We prepare ourselves to receive Jesus resurrected from the tomb on Easter Day. And this year, we also enter Lent as a kind of wilderness in this city and in our country. This last week, Adeline and I had lunch with a handful of clergy, leading Episcopal parishes in Northwest DC. There was a palpable sense of searching among us. What's the way forward? What does it mean to be a witness to the gospel of Jesus in a time such as this? What can we do? What can our churches do? I recognize that in the wilderness, the roads are not always clearly marked. That part of being in the wilderness is a loss of certainty about what path will lead us home, lead us back into the glory of God. Last week, Ledley's final word was to remind us that we are the body of Christ, that our different gifts are not a challenge to God, but rather the gift of God. Not a challenge to this church, but a charism, our spiritual inheritance. In this time when so many of us are asking, what can we do to help? Asking, how can we live into our baptismal covenant to strive for justice and resist evil? Might I also suggest that this image of the body of Christ continue to be our guide? Our first reaction from a distance might be that some of us will move too slowly to answer these questions. For others, we will answer them too recklessly. For some, we will not be direct enough. For others, it may feel too political and insensitive. But from another perspective, we might hold that in this gloriously gifted church, we will walk together on many roads through the wilderness, that our gifts may multiply in manifestation, not unto themselves, none confidently forsaking the convictions of others. Jesus calls us to keep watch and pray in the wilderness, to recognize the inherent temptation of human beings to lose their way with God and one another, to forgive ourselves and each other. And also that in the wilderness we may be convicted to see the coffee we could have sworn to be no better than gas station coffee might just be the best coffee ever made by human hands. Mikey, if you didn't get that, just rewind it online. The thing in front of us may be that very gift. By the power of God, we may see the world differently. By the power of God, we keep pushing for justice and truth, even under threat of the most alluring temptations. By the power of God, we will be delivered on Easter Day. Amen.